This is fascinating. So you.
So I read every week. There were two of us. Each of us read for half an hour, and we'd get our own material.
Right.
Well, the best writers in the op-ed sections were in the New York Times and the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. So I ended up reading the New York Times and the Washington Post op-ed pieces.
Yeah.
And then I'd try and find other things. But the more I read, the more I understood. And it really made me more compassionate,
yeah,
more critical in a different way than I had been from before.
Maybe opened you up to ideas you hadn't considered, perhaps. Which is what a good opinion writer should do, right?
And I became fans of a lot of them, and I still am. So that's how – I don't know if that's here or there, but
Let's talk about Jim. When was the first time you met him?
Met him at the Partnership for Families.
Yeah.
And then when he came over here to Virginia Voice, he called and said, would you like to be on the board? And I said, you bet.
Yeah.
And Jim took what was kind of a sleepy organization and really did something with it. He started initiatives that were kind of obvious but never been addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And he made participation at Virginia Voice something that people wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he took it when it was financially on its back and saved it.
Yeah.
Saved it fiscally and saved it, I think, functionally.
You said before the interview that he made it fun.
He did.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, because that's something that a lot of people have talked about.
Well,
his sense of humor.
Anybody that knows Jim knows that, first of all, he has no ego. He just doesn't have an ego. Mm-hmm. And he is very glad for everybody else to take credit for what he's doing. And that doesn't stop him or slow him down.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he didn't want to take credit, it made it a lot more fun for you because you weren't having to, you know, to assuage his ego.
Yeah, you didn't have to bow to him, right?
At all. And yet, month after month, quarter after quarter, year after year, Virginia Voice became more substantial, back on its feet economically, more innovative in the community,
mm-hmm.
With more outreach. And fun, but, you know, he wasn't a clown. He was the real deal.
Yeah, yeah. Talk a little bit about how special that those qualities are in a leader.
I think they're really unusual.
Yeah.
The fact that you have you're willing to give everybody else credit and yet work as hard as you do as he did, mm-hmm. It's very unusual.
Yeah.
And because he wasn't looking for anything for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He really had the idea of what are we doing for our constituents, for the people that are vision impaired? How mm-hmm. are we really helping them? And that was the adherence to that mission was a very unusual and yet necessary component in bringing this organization mm-hmm. to where it is now.
He had a wide range of interests, to say the least. Were you ever involved? Did you ever see him play live music? Did you know about his prowess?
I knew about it. I was spared it.
Mm.
I did not ever hear him play, but I know a lot of people that he played with. And that seemed to me to be a very big component of what made him happy, was right. playing music.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on Jim? Any special stories or memories?
No, I think I hope that what I bring to this program is gratitude to Jim, because he was really a special person. The fact that he did what he did and never took credit for it and did it really well is so rare. And he taught me a lot. And I really appreciated being his friend.
Well, thanks, Greg. I really appreciate it.